Here in New Hampshire, we know resources are precious. Unspoiled wilderness, clean air, pure water. To be a Granite Stater is to know we must protect these for future generations. However, it's easy to forget that community resources like public radio need your protection too. Reporters with integrity, stories that bridge our divisions, about issues that matter. These are all things you've come to expect from NHPR. Help protect this precious resource for future generations by adding just one sentence to your estate plans. Learn more at nhpr.plannedgiving.org.
Welcome to NHPR's Candidate Debate for New Hampshire Governor. I'm Laura Kanoy, along with NHPR's senior political reporter, Josh Rogers. These debates are produced in collaboration with New Hampshire PBS, and we're following health guidelines as we bring them to you today. All four of us, Josh, me, our two candidates, are in separate studios, and all of us wore masks when in public areas of our office. Now, here's our format. Each candidate will have 60 seconds to deliver an opening statement. We'll then move to questions with 60 seconds to respond, and in many cases, Josh or I will likely follow up with a question or point of clarification, which will get 30 additional seconds. In the case of a direct attack on a candidate, that person will be given 30 seconds to respond. Also, I'd like to strongly discourage our candidates today from interrupting each other. So, our candidates are the incumbent Republican Governor, Chris Sununu, running for a third term. He's also a former executive counselor. Governor Sununu, welcome back to The Exchange. Great to have you.
Thank you so much.
And also with us, Democratic nominee Dan Feltes, a state senator from Concord and the Senate Majority Leader. And Senator Feltes, thank you for your time. Welcome back to you, too.
You got it. Great to be on.
Well, and we will start with those 60-second opening statements, and we'll go in alphabetical order. So, Senator Feltes, you first, your 60-second opening statement, please.
Well, thank you very much, Laura, Josh, and Governor. I'm not running for governor simply to be governor. I'm running for governor to get things done for working people and working families. Families are sacrificing and they're struggling. Hundreds have lost loved ones, tens of thousands lost their jobs, thousands more of their homes, cases are going up while schools are shutting down, and the health care we all rely upon, Obamacare, is in jeopardy right now. Most working families don't know what the next week will bring, let alone the next day, and working class families in particular are taking it on the chin. That's where I come from, a working class family, and it's just an honor to be here with all of you. I don't come from a family of politicians like the current governor. My dad, he worked in a furniture factory for 45 years. Same one, on air condition, doing the same job, day in, day out for 45 years. My mom, part-time work while raising four kids. And I fought for working class folks as a legal aid attorney with New Hampshire Legal Assistance in the state Senate. And each and every day, if I have the honor and privilege of serving as your governor, I will fight for working class families.
Thank you, Senator Feltes. Governor Sununu, go ahead with your 60-second opening statement,
please. Well, great. Thank you very much. And first, big thank you to everyone in New Hampshire. We've gone through some amazing times over the past year. Big thanks to my own team, Dr. Benjamin Chan, Lori Chibinette, the men and women of the National Guard, the team at Unemployment Security, all these folks that have really come together in a very, very difficult time and gotten results. And, you know, when it comes to the campaign, I understand this frustration on the other side. You know, I understand Dan is frustrated that, you know, Democrats and Republicans across the spectrum are supporting us. He's 20 points down in the polls. And even today, the New Hampshire Democrat Party has pulled his ads on cable TV. But I got to tell you, that is no excuse for the negativity, the attacks, the lies. It's not appropriate. I don't care how down you are in a campaign. You got to talk about the future and what you're bringing, management experience. That's exactly what New Hampshire needs. We've got a lot of challenges ahead of us in 2021, and we're going to be able to tackle them with the right experience, with the right team, and with positivity. I've been transparent and honest every day when I step in front of that camera for the state of New Hampshire, and we're going to keep doing it.
Thank you, Governor Sununu. We'll get into our questions. And Josh Rogers, we're going to start off with you.
Thanks, Laura, and good morning, all. Governor, the latest COVID-19 case numbers have shown a spike. Cases are double what they were 2 weeks ago. Hospitalizations, while still low, are rising. I know you and your team say higher numbers are mostly tied to more testing, but throughout this pandemic, you've emphasized the need to let circumstances dictate if the state should, as you put it, flex in or flex out restrictions. Yeah. Should we be tightening up now? If so, how? And if not, what would be the benchmarks?
Well, cases are going up. Yeah, it's a great point. Cases are going up. It's something we've been talking about since May, knowing that in the fall, as schools open, as universities open, as we all kind of come indoors, cases are going to rise. They're rising much more drastically in other parts of the country, but we shouldn't think that that can't happen here. And unfortunately, as as governor, my job is to plan for the worst and hope for the best. And so we've been able to put all of these new measures in place, whether it's our great job of getting PPE or testing better than almost any state in the country. As you noted, we used to do 500 tests a day. Now we do 10,000. And our percent positivity rate is still at about 1%. That's good. The number of individuals in hospitals is, I think, today of 16 or 17. It used to be well over 100. So we have a lot of capacity in the healthcare system to make sure it doesn't get overrun. And we've opened up, whether it's schools or restaurants or retail, in a very surgical and strategic way. So if we have to flex, like we did with hockey this week, very, very tough decision to make, but we can be very strategic about how we flex things as we go forward. But we're going to use the data and Dr. Chan and the team at Department of Public Health to inform us.
You do mention hockey rinks, Governor, and we've had clusters and feared community spread out of restaurants. You know, case numbers out of schools, infections as a percentage of population are quite small, but some districts have closed temporarily, decisions that they're making on their own. You know, given the clusters we've had from indoor restaurant dining and some church gatherings, things that you shut down earlier this year, should you consider limits in those segments of our society again?
Not at this time. I mean, it's something we're going to keep looking. We look at the data, not day by day, like hour by hour, actually, as it comes in. So that's probably not something we're looking to do now. We always have other cards to play. But luckily, when we see a cluster or a spike, we work with the restaurant, we work with the organization, and usually can get folks on a better path. And the results show. We have still some of the lowest numbers in the country, one of the strongest economies in the country. But it's because Dr. Chan, the Department of Public Health, and myself, we're very specific about how we go about it. But we always have another card to play.
One more follow-up to you, Governor. Something that's become more apparent as we get deeper into the pandemic is the disproportionate economic effect COVID-19 has had on women, higher rates of unemployment, higher rate of wage loss, and, you know, the real possibility that some of the lost jobs may not return. What policy should the state adopt to ensure that economic losses borne by women don't become permanent? 30 seconds.
Are you asking specifically to women?
Yes.
So, you know, we set up, there's a couple issues when you talk about women or minorities, when you talk about the disparity in just healthcare or the disparity in the workplace. We're ranked as one of the best states in the country. We used to be number 30. I think we're now number 5 in terms of equity pay, for example. they have that Gini coefficient, which looks at equity pay with men and women, and across the board, we're one of the best in the country with what we call our middle class pay, lowest poverty rate in the country, some of the highest wages. So I don't think it's about going after one specific area. It's about making sure the jobs are there, you have the management experience to open the economy back up, and we've been very successful so far.
Thanks, Governor. You, Senator Feltes, if you were governor right now, what would you do now given the case numbers we're seeing on the coronavirus front?
We got to listen to the medical experts. That's something that Donald Trump and Kristen Noem don't do on masks, for example. A common sense public mask requirement to make sure that we take care of our people. Those are what the medical experts have recommended. Actually do a school reopening plan, not punt it down to the local level like Trump and Sununu did. And it's not enough just to criticize Trump and Sununu for not doing anything on school reopening, no public health standards. We put forward our own plan, Live Free and Learn Safe, informed by medical experts, informed by including the former commissioner of HHS, Ned Helms. So we got to look out for our people on the ground. We also got to look out for our healthcare system and make sure that we protect and strengthen Obamacare. And Kristen Sununu, just like Donald Trump, supports the repeal of Obamacare. And Kristen Sununu, just like Donald Trump, has rolled back and restricted access to safe, legal abortion. And you know what? You're going to hear a lot today of, you know, Donald Trump gives himself an A+, Kristen Sununu gives himself a gold standard. But to move forward, we got to protect and strengthen our health care system.
Senator, polling indicates most Granite Staters approve of Governor Sununu's performance managing the pandemic. A UNH poll last week put the numbers at, I think, 83%, including 70% of Democrats. So why are the people who think the governor's done a good job on this front wrong?
The people I talk to, they need help. They're struggling. Working families are struggling. They don't know what the next week will bring, let alone the next day. And health insurance and our health care is critical in the midst of a pandemic. As a legal aid lawyer, I fought the health insurance companies for about 10 years, getting access to health care, including during the last economic crisis, the Great Recession, battling Wall Street banks for foreclosing on folks all across New Hampshire. As a state senator, battled the health insurance industry to get prescription drug relief, Medicaid expansion, protect pre-existing conditions. While I was taking on the health insurance companies, Kristen Sununu literally took over $100,000 in campaign contributions from the health insurance industry, supports the repeal of Obamacare. If we're going to move forward together, if we're going to move forward together, we got to protect and strengthen Obamacare. It has a Supreme Court argument on November 10th. Judge Barrett being put forth by President Trump. Kristen Hughes supports that process going forward. And look, we got to move forward together. Lift each other up. The stories of working families and healthcare stability is critical to moving forward in this pandemic.
Governor, we're going to let you get a chance to discuss this on a healthcare segment a bit later in the show. But one more for you, Senator Feltes. You know, many businesses that would have been devastated this spring when unemployment was really at its height were kept afloat by federal aid. You know, more of that could be coming to New Hampshire. But if more restrictions, economic restrictions, end up being needed later this fall and this winter, and more money doesn't come from Washington, what would you do to support businesses that might otherwise be ravaged by the economic impacts of the pandemic?
Well, we needed to support businesses and small businesses in particular with the COVID CARES Act relief funds. Look, there's $1.25 billion that was taken control of by Chris Sununu, unilateral control. And you know what? I'd ask people listening and watching at home, how much of Chris Sununu's $1.25 billion did you get? How much did your family get? I bet you didn't get much. You know who got a lot? Corporate campaign donors of Chris Sununu's campaign. And that's a God's honest truth. So we got to look out for small businesses on Main Street, working people and working families, and strengthen and bolster our health care system.
Okay, Governor Sununu, we'll give you.
Yeah, let's be very clear. The Main Street Relief Fund I set up was the most successful business relief fund in the country. No other state put out the money that we put out for businesses and employees. Tens of thousands, 6,500 small businesses, right? Go tell the small diners or the flower shops or the numerous businesses I've walked into. Some have only a couple employees. They all got money to help them pay their bills and pay their taxes. No other state did what we did. We put out over $500 million. In fact, it was so successful, we're doing a part two. So we've been out there for the nonprofits, the self-employed. No one else, not Florida, not Texas, not New York. So I couldn't be more proud of the success we've had keeping those businesses going through tough economic times.
Laura, to you.
Thank you, Josh. Gentlemen, let's talk specifically about how this pandemic has affected elderly Granite Staters. In your debate last night on WMUR, both of you interpreted the numbers in ways that bolstered your particular argument. I would like to set aside that statistical back and forth. We can agree this is tragic. Senator Feltes, to you first, what specifically would you have done differently than the governor? And you have 60 seconds here, please.
Well, the true measure of society is the way it treats its most vulnerable. I represented folks in nursing homes and long-term care facilities when I was a legal aid lawyer. And I've fought for our most vulnerable in the state Senate, including during this pandemic, putting forth concrete initiatives to help our nursing homes and long-term care facilities, bolstering child care, helping people on unemployment, helping people like Diane, who was a breast cancer survivor, who lost her job, reached out to Governor Sununu's office, didn't get a response, reached out to me. We ended up getting her unemployment. And in terms of nursing homes and long-term care facilities, look, we put forward measures to help. PPE, testing, financial stability, and an independent audit and review, comprehensive outside audit and review of what went wrong with recommendations for a second wave. That was vetoed by Chris Sununu. That would have been awfully helpful right now as we're seeing spikes and more outbreaks in nursing homes and long-term care facilities.
Well, and we'll give the governor a chance to talk about that. But I did want to ask you, Senator Feltes, you have repeatedly said, and you've said already this morning, that the governor wants to get rid of the Affordable Care Act. And yet the governor signed on to a multi-state lawsuit to defend the ACA from a federal court challenge. If the governor truly opposed the ACA, why wouldn't he join the suit, the multi-state suit, seeking to repeal it instead of the multi-state suit seeking to defend it? Why do you keep making this point, Senator Feltes? 30 seconds, please.
Well, thank you. An election year campaign filing is one thing. Chris Sununu has a long history of opposing Obamacare. And as an executive counselor in 2012, he voted down Obamacare health care exchange being set up in New Hampshire. In 2016, he ran on the pledge to repeal Obamacare. When asked in 2016 why he supports Donald Trump, he said, because Donald Trump will end the horrible program that is Obamacare. He cheerled the effort, federal effort, to repeal Obamacare without a replacement. Fortunately, Senator Hassan, Senator Shaheen, and the late Senator John McCain voted no in the U.S. Senate. And now he wants to go forward with Judge Barrett's nomination to the Supreme Court. And she has a long history of opposition to Obamacare.
Well, and just for the record, Governor Sununu didn't sign on to the Republican governor's letter supporting the nomination of Judge Barrett. But to the other statements, I'll give you 30 seconds, Governor Sununu. What about those previous statements and previous positions that Senator Feltus raises that certainly sound like opposition to the ACA? 30 seconds, please.
Sure. So two things. Let's first talk about the ACA. I agree with most Americans. We're all frustrated that the promises of lower cost with Obamacare didn't come to fruition, and that's a lot of the frustration we expressed early on. But you don't just throw it out, which is exactly why I'm bucking my party's trend, joining just a few Republican governors and fighting to keep the ACA in place. And then there's other provisions in there. Remember, it was the Republicans in 2017 who voted to do Medicaid expansion for the next 5 years. That was us and supporting those types of initiatives. So you have to judge people on their record and hold elected officials accountable to what they do, not just what they say.
And just for the record, Medicaid expansion was a bipartisan effort in the state legislature.
Sure.
Getting back to long-term care, Senator Feltus, to you, given the serious toll on our elders' physical and mental health that we saw with these shutdowns, I have elderly parents myself in facilities, and it was tough. How would you, as governor, decide whether to clamp down or ease up? What sort of metrics would you use in 30 seconds, please?
Well, you got to listen to the medical experts. That didn't happen early on, and an independent audit and review was vetoed with concrete, would have had concrete recommendations how we move forward. And our assisted living facility, nursing home facilities, would be devastated by the repeal of Obamacare without a replacement. And that's exactly what that federal legislation in 2017 was. A repeal without a replacement. And when it passed the U.S. House, Chris Sununu said it was a huge win. And then the U.S. Senate dealt Trump and Sununu a huge loss, thankfully. And now, in order to move forward on long-term care and our entire healthcare system, we need to protect and strengthen Obamacare, make it work for people
on
the ground.
So, Senator Feltus, my question, though, was how would you decide, making that tough decision as to whether to clamp down, restrict more, put more restrictions in place on the nursing homes, or ease up? Because we've, you know, this has been very tough on elders. So that's my question. We already talked about Obamacare.
Well,
30 seconds, please.
You need to listen to the medical experts and the CDC guidance. And the CDC guidance early on indicated that routine, frequent testing and the provision of PPE on a continuous, ongoing basis was the best practice. And it wasn't until a month and a half or so into the crisis that Chris Sununu actually took steps. And he went out to a no-bid contract to a corporate campaign donor to do some testing of some of the residents of some of the facilities, wholly inadequate, not because of the good work of the people on the ground, but because of the inadequate approach by Governor Sununu. So we got to move forward on this. We needed to do an independent audit and review. That didn't happen. When we talk about transparency, Governor Sununu vetoed.
Yeah. And I just want to jump in. I apologize, Senator Feltus, but I'm looking at the clock, and I did want to give Governor Sununu a chance to have a 60-second opportunity. You said, Governor Sununu, your team's doing a great job when it comes to this, but Dr. Fauci has said, actually, Vermont is the model for the nation. Far more precautions put in place far earlier than we did.
Vermont's terrific.
Keeping the community spread low, and that, of course, extends to nursing home, universal testing. What do you think, Governor, 60 seconds, please, would our elderly have been better protected if we'd been more aggressive with this virus right up front?
So a couple things. You're absolutely right. Vermont's done a great job. Phil Scott and I work very closely. They've done a great job with it. But let's be very clear. Senator Feltus just said we got testing and PPE early. Early on in this pandemic, Senator Feltus was at home. And it was Dr. Ben Chan and myself and Lori Chibonet who actually used to run long-term care facilities. So to say that we didn't listen to experts, we had some of the best experts in the country right here helping us make these very tough decisions. And I was talking to Dr. Birx and Dr. Fauci one-on-one on these issues. So we tackled these issues head-on. We have the most aggressive sentinel testing program in the country. In the country, we test more folks in long-term care, both residents and nurses, than any other state because we were so good and aggressive about getting that testing. That had absolutely nothing to do with Senator Feltus. He was home for the first 3 months. And yes, they passed a bill on June 30th, 3 months after this whole thing had started. They came back for 2 days and passed a bill to do what we had already done. So that's just true. Political talking point. We're going to have challenges in long-term care. Nothing we can't handle when we work with our experts and really focus on the stakeholders at risk.
All right. And coming up our next segment, Josh Rogers, our senior political reporter, will tackle some of the politics of this. Thank you both, gentlemen. We're going to take a very quick break. We'll be right back. This is The Exchange on NHPR. Welcome back to NHPR's candidate debate for New Hampshire governor. I'm Laura Kanoy, along with NHPR's senior political reporter, Josh Rogers. We're talking with Republican Governor Chris Sununu and his Democratic challenger, State Senator Dan Feltes. And Josh, we'll begin this next segment with you, please.
All right, Governor, we're going to move to leadership. You have 60 seconds for this question. Due to the ongoing state of emergency, you've been able to run state government with a pretty free hand. The legislature has been mostly out of session, and a judge ruled that you have the authority to distribute federal COVID aid without their oversight. But if you're reelected and the state of emergency ends, you'll be back having to work more closely with a state house that could be, as it is now, largely under Democratic control. Based on your track record, the record number of vetoes, some gridlock before the council with some key nominations, should the public expect things to be different?
Well, look, this is a pandemic, and obviously we had to take very strict action. The legislature recessed themselves. They went away. When it comes to actually doing a deal for PPE or doing a deal for testing, it was literally minute by minute, 3 a.m. I had a phone to the guys in China on one side. I'm working with FEMA. We're working with everybody, the whole team to get it together. And you got to make decisions very quickly, which is exactly what the state of emergency allows a governor to do, to be very flexible. And we were incredibly successful with our nimbleness there. There are a lot of pieces of the state of emergency and the orders that are part of that that I think the legislature should take over, right, in terms of I hope we can keep the telemedicine stuff that I created and put into place for the pandemic. Let's keep that, permanent. There are certain things and certain restrictions, I think, that are going to have to stay in place more long term. And a lot of that absolutely should come before the legislature. But when Dan Feltes and the Democrats sued me to create bureaucracy, to slow things down, that would have been a disaster for the state of New Hampshire. And the fact that they frankly had the gall to think that bureaucracy is what you should input into a pandemic is the absolute wrong approach. And again, being nimble is one of the reasons why we've gotten such great results for the state.
Senator, I'll give you a quick follow-up there.
Sure. Now's not the time for victory laps. Again, Donald Trump gives himself an A+. Chris Sununu gives himself the gold standard. Now's not the time to pat yourself on the back. We got spikes. We got to plan for the future. We got to finally go forward with paid family and medical leave insurance. We got to finally stabilize our healthcare system. And I've been helping people all the way through this pandemic, people like Diane and Beth, who fell through the cracks in Chris Sununu's unemployment insurance system. Help them get unemployment. Help small business owners navigate this. And we made common sense progress on telemedicine. We actually codified that into law, passed a number of measures to move New Hampshire forward. But this is fundamentally an issue of working together.
Okay.
Chris Sununu.
I'm going to cut you off there.
Sure. Go
back to the governor. The intent of the question was, and maybe this is wishful thinking, is to envision a return to pre-pandemic world in which when you were governor, when you were inaugurated last year, you said divided government, which is what voters chose, requires leaders to, quote, embrace a spirit of cooperation.
Sure.
Since then, you vetoed 78 bills.
I also
You've decided to let the state's highest court go without a chief justice for more than a year now because the executive council disagreed with your first choice, which is their prerogative. Given that, what evidence is there of your spirit of cooperation over the past 2 years?
Look, in the past year, I signed more legislation in 2019 with a Democrat legislature than Maggie Hassan ever did. That's not a knock on Maggie, don't get me wrong, but we got more done than even the 4 years that Maggie Hassan did. So we've signed lots of legislation. Did I say no to all of that extreme legislation that created taxes and fees and surcharges over $1 billion over the next 10 years, I vetoed? Yes, absolutely, we're going to say no to that. So we have a great record. And as for the executive council, that's exactly why I'm not putting forth a chief justice, because they put politics in. Because when Andy Valinsky and Deb Pignatelli and Mike Ryan said, well, you're a Republican, so we can't do it. I put forth Democrats and been successful. But when they let the ugliness of Washington politics invade in that process, that was wrong. And
okay,
so I'm not going to put forth nominees to have to go through
that. Okay, I'll go to you, Senator, in a second. But I just want to follow up with the governor. I mean, you sat on the council. The governor proposes, the council disposes. You've got to get 3 votes. When you put up Attorney General McDonald to be Chief Justice, you knew you didn't have the votes to do so, and you chose
to move.
But
I knew he was the most qualified candidate. He came with amazing support. Dozens of judges and lawyers, Democrats, said, this is the guy. But it was a political move by Deb Pignatelli and Andy Valinsky and Mike Kreins, who, frankly, that's a body I was on for years. And for 200 years, there was no politics involved. Right. I worked with John Lynch. I worked with Maggie Hassan. I worked with Republicans, Democrats. Amazing success through all the years until all of a sudden it came to a grinding halt because they let that type of attitude. There is no place for that in the state of New Hampshire. And I stood strong.
I mean, politics on the council, I've never heard of it, Governor. But to you, Senator Feltes.
Thank you very much, Josh. So 79 pieces of legislation vetoed, 65 of which had bipartisan support. We're talking everything from net metering, job training, addiction treatment services, universal background checks, an independent bipartisan redistricting commission, waiver of insurance costs for COVID-19 testing and treatment, bipartisan work, 3 bipartisan net metering bills, paid family and medical leave insurance was bipartisan. The problem here is not a Democrat problem or a Republican problem. It's a Chris Sununu problem. And if we're going to move forward in a bipartisan, collaborative way, we got to win this race.
Senator, I've got a question for you on the leadership front. 60 seconds. You know, you talk a lot about having been a legal aid lawyer and that the experience of representing people facing tough economic circumstances informs your approach to politics. But I want to ask about your administrative experience. What in your background suggests you're qualified as a manager to run a sprawling bureaucracy like New Hampshire's government?
Sure. I serve as majority leader of the state Senate, chair of the Ways and Means Committee, vice chair of the Finance Committee, served in the state Senate for 3 terms, served as a legal aid lawyer for about a decade. And I'm proud of that service, helping people as best I could, including managing the Housing Justice Project, the housing work, the casework, the finances and the grant work, including combating housing discrimination all across New Hampshire, managing the attorneys and the casework to save people's homes in the Great Recession, battling Wall Street banks. I know that I was never, quite frankly, gifted a ski resort like my opponent. I managed to help people save their homes during that same time that he was gifted that ski resort. It's a difference of background and perspective, and I'm always going to look out for workers on our front lines. We talk a lot about teams. A governor talks about the team. Well, look, the team of state employees, the state employees and state association, employees association endorsed me in this race. The state troopers and state police endorsed me in this race. So quite frankly, Governor, your team wants a new coach.
So if I can, Josh, sure. Let's be clear. You asked Dan Feltes what kind of management experience he has. Zero. He has no answer for it. He's never managed a balance sheet, a P&L, managed a budget process, built a team, been, you know, had to stay up nights worrying how they were going to make payroll the next day. And I got to tell you something. Dan has taken shots at my business for so long, and I couldn't be more proud. Do you know how many thousands of family businesses are out there? I was very proud to run my family business. It wasn't easy. It was a struggle. I had 800 employees I had to worry about every day. And Dan's constant shots at my family. Look, my mom was on the school board. My dad was on the planning board. He became governor. My brother was a senator. I have brothers on town committees. My sister runs a museum. My other sister was a teacher. That's service, not career politicians. That is absolute service. That's what New Hampshire is all about. And I could not be prouder of the service my family has given this state. And for him to constantly take shots at my family and constantly take shots because I ran my family business, we did a great job. You know, and I work with those individuals. But again, that kind of negativity and attack ads, it's unbelievable. Every ad this guy has is an attack. Every single ad on TV is an attack. Why is that, Dan?
Why? I don't understand.
30 seconds, Senator.
Well, first of all, let's just be clear here. Governor, you talk about your management of the ski resort as an issue. So I'm going to talk about it. And campaigns are about distinctions. I managed to save people's homes while you were working at the ski resort. And that's fine. But that's a difference of perspective. I help people struggling in their last economic crisis get back up on their feet. I saw the devastation of the budget cuts in the Great Recession. I've seen the devastation of the budget cuts that Chris Sununu is doing right now to people on the ground. And on day one, I'm going to manage that budget to look out for ordinary people, working people, and working families.
You can't sue your way out of a crisis. You can't lawyer your way out. You got to manage. You got to build teams. You got to lift people up with positivity.
Yeah, but that's why the State Employees Association supports my campaign.
Gentlemen, please don't interrupt
the state
each
troopers
other.
Support
Josh, go ahead, please.
My campaign.
Okay, Senator, one more to you. You promised to make support for abortion rights a litmus test on all judicial picks and promised to nominate a pro-choice woman to the New Hampshire Supreme Court if you're elected. Are there other prerequisites you'd require of judicial nominees?
Well, I don't think it's a surprise I'm pro-choice. And it's no surprise that I will make a nomination that reflects that view. I will nominate a pro-choice woman to the New Hampshire Supreme Court. I think it is a surprise to voters that Chris Sununu is actually not pro-choice. He says he
That's
is
not true
along
at all. Come on.
Around election time, but every action and conduct in between is anything but. He vetoed insurance coverage for reproductive health care services. He redirected COVID relief money to an anti-abortion quote-unquote counseling center. He supported the nomination of justices to make abortion illegal, like Brett Kavanaugh and others, and he worked to defund Planned Parenthood. That's not the record of someone who's pro-choice. I am pro-choice every step of the way.
Okay, Governor, we'll give you we'll give you a chance to respond.
On the executive council, I was supporting contracts for women reproductive health before Dan Feltes was even a senator, and we've stood by that. I've been pro-choice my entire life. That is not some sort of secret, and of course we've stood by that. And there should never be a litmus test. I don't use any litmus test. You know, and all the judges I've nominated or voted on as the council, I've never once asked them, what political party are you from? I've never once said, where do you stand on this issue or that issue? Because when it comes to that kind of service, you got to know that folks know the Constitution. They know the law. They're not going to make judicial or emotional, legal in terms of judging on the law, well, or emotional decisions based on the bench, based on their political personality. It has to be a bipartisan, nonpartisan effort. There should be no litmus test on any issue for any judge. Well, that's the right way to do
Governor
it.
Governor Sununu does have a litmus test.
I need to jump back in here, gentlemen, and I do apologize, but we do need
whether or not
to move
the
on. Senator
Gordon
Feltes,
McDonald.
We've used up all our time on this segment, and thank you very much for that spirited back and forth and for highlighting some of these issues that have been a part of this campaign. I do want to talk about another important issue, and that's race and policing. And Senator Feltes, to you first, please. The final report by the Governor's Commission on Law Enforcement Accountability covers, as you know, a wide range of topics concerning police and race, has been widely praised, and the governor has endorsed all 48 recommendations. How much more, Senator Feltes, would you do as governor? Or is this an area where you can say, good job? 60 seconds.
I support all those recommendations of that commission. We also need to move forward with legalization of marijuana, something Chris Sununu opposes and has opposed throughout his entire political career. It's a racial justice issue. We also need to move forward with making sure that we create the Office of Racial Equity in the governor's office, making it a priority to root out systemic racism, identified and rooted out. And Chris Sununu, just like Donald Trump, denies systemic racism exists, literally denies it. And I'm sure he'll talk about some of the things that he's done. But you cannot be a leader on racial justice and support Donald Trump. Chris Sununu calls himself a Trump guy through and through. I asked him several times last night whether or not he's proud to vote for Donald Trump. He didn't respond. In order to move forward in this divisive times, you got to turn down the divisive politics of Donald Trump. And calling yourself a Trump guy through and through and standing by Donald Trump is not the right way to go.
Well, and we'll get to that in a moment, Senator Feltes. But the governor has spoken clearly on racism, saying it has no place in our state, and that the president should have been more unequivocal about condemning white supremacist groups. He's spoken out pretty clearly on this on a number of occasions. What more does he need to say? 30 seconds, please.
He's supporting Donald Trump, and he's not speaking out unequivocally. He's getting pressure to say something and trying to have it both ways. You can't. On this issue, you cannot have it both ways. You can't say that you're leading on this. Look, whether subtle or overt, caught on tape or not, each and every day, Black Americans and Black Granite Staters face words, actions, and policies that rob them of the American dream, if not their very lives. We need to support people marching for change. Make it not just a moment, but a movement.
Governor, to you first, and I'll give you 60 seconds to talk about some of the language that the president has used and others in your party, and how you position yourself as a Republican, given some of the language that we have seen around people of color. Go ahead, 60 seconds, please.
I call the balls and strikes like I see them. That's what I do. And when I hear things, whether it's out of Washington or folks in our own community that we disagree with, we're right out there. And there are, as you pointed out, Laura, we've been clear that those types of statements have to be unequivocal. There's no gray area. Which is why when we created the LEAC Commission, and as you pointed out, it's been nationally hailed up as a great example because Black Lives Matter, the ACLU, all of these groups that have that are demanding, and rightly so, a change in attitude, a change in message, a change in culture, which has to happen. We brought them in and worked side by side with state police, local law enforcement, police standards and training, the prosecutors. Everybody came in. And over a series of 60 days, we didn't wait to do long-term commissions. 60 days I gave them, and they came out with over 40 different recommendations. We agreed with them all, and they agreed with each other on every one. That type of partnership you don't see across the country. You saw it here in New Hampshire, and I'm proud to have led those efforts. We're moving forward, some with executive orders, some legislatively. That's an awesome process, and it's not over. We're going to keep coming back at it and use it as a living, breathing document to check ourselves and be progressive about how we attack this issue.
And Black Lives Matter's leaders here in New Hampshire have issued a series of demands, Governor, directed at candidates for state and local offices. There are lots of them, but I want to ask you about one of them, please. They are demanding legislation that removes qualified immunity for all law enforcement officers. Is this a proposal that you support?
No.
30 seconds, please.
No, absolutely not. You start removing qualified immunity. I know the Democrats are a big fan of this. You know, there are other folks, especially on a national level, have said we have to remove that. You might as well just chase all law enforcement out of here. You might as well just tell them that we're not supporting them. There are certain things that have to be held in place to make sure that we have the right approach. We're instituting community policing, new standards in terms of our training protocols, new standards when it comes to partnering with mental health. These are all not just things we're talking about, things we're doing today. It's already moving forward. Over 40 recommendations. We're not talk. We're getting it done, and we're being held up as an example for the rest of the country.
Senator,
I'm very proud to have led those efforts.
Senator Feltus, very quickly to you, and then I'm going to throw it back to Josh. How do you feel about qualified immunity?
I don't support removing qualified immunity. I've been very clear about that. Look, the protection there for police officers and others is common sense, public service protections, and taking the municipality or the town off the hook takes off the hook the systemic change that could possibly be implemented. Individual police officers, quite frankly, in terms of the amount of money that they could give in a legal redress, is not the same as a town or city. So, look, it's about making sure that there's justice and access to justice.
Thank you, Senator Feltus. And Josh, back to you, please.
We're going to move to the environment and energy issues, and this is for you, Governor, a minute on this one. Last week, you were the lone governor in New England not to sign on to a letter to the regional grid manager, ISO, asking for a grid that would be more supportive of renewable energy. At the same time, New Hampshire has the lowest renewable energy usage goal in the region, the lowest caps on rooftop solar power, all things that have lowered emissions and created jobs in other states. Why should the people of New Hampshire be comfortable with us being an outlier regionally on these fronts? 1 minute.
Well, that one specific issue really allowed other states to make the decisions for New Hampshire. We're going to make decisions for ourselves, and we've done, frankly, a great job of it. When it comes to offshore wind, I've led New England in pushing for great offshore wind to allow that to be a big part of our renewable energy portfolio going forward. You brought up rooftop solar. Could not agree with you more. Enough of these giant mega solar arrays that just put millions of dollars of subsidies in the back pockets of these big solar developers. Let's make sure, because there's a cost, right? There's a surcharge. Every time you turn on a light, Josh, you're paying the bill, I'm paying the bill, fixed income, people on fixed incomes are paying the bill. And I vetoed hundreds of millions of dollars of those surcharges. Let's make sure that the rooftop solar goes on low-income housing, apartment buildings, mobile home parks, long-term care facilities, because those are the folks that can least afford these surcharges. So it's not about saying no to something. It's about changing, doing it a little bit differently. I was the only governor to go down and say, we're not going to accept offshore drilling when it comes to the state of New Hampshire. And I got that commitment from the secretary, which we later codified into law. So it's not about what you say. It's about what you do. And I think we've taken great action to preserve the environment. It's a very important issue for our state.
Senator Feltus, I'll go to you for a minute on this.
Yeah, it is about what you do. And the 14 vetoes of clean energy legislation has resulted in New Hampshire losing solar jobs. Kristen Neumann's vetoes have led to increased rates. Investments in clean energy, distributed generation, solar, energy efficiency, reduced rates. That's the fact. And so to move forward to combat the climate crisis, we need to step up and take our responsibility here in New Hampshire. Go to clean energy and clean energy jobs. That's in part how we get out of this mess. Providing the jobs of tomorrow in clean energy right here in New Hampshire. Unfortunately, Kristen Neumann has stopped that progress. And in fact, not only that, said the jury's out on climate change in his own words. Well, you know what? The jury's in, and it's time to move forward aggressively here in New Hampshire.
Well, we'll get back to that in just a moment. We're going to take a very quick station break here. Thank you, gentlemen. Stay with us for more conversation with the candidates for New Hampshire governor right here on NHPR. Welcome back to NHPR's candidate debate for New Hampshire governor. I'm Laura Kanoy, along with NHPR senior political reporter Josh Rogers. And this hour, we are talking with incumbent Republican Governor Chris Sununu and his Democratic challenger, Concord State Senator Dan Feltus. And gentlemen, I want to turn to mental health. But just before the break, we were having a bit of back and forth about climate change, and I did want to give both of you a little bit more opportunity to jump in there. So, Governor Sununu, you first, 30 seconds, you were invoked. Senator Feltus said you don't believe in climate change.
Of course.
I'd like to give you a chance to clarify please.
Of course I believe in climate change. Humans contribute to climate change. It's something we've been saying for – this came up in 2018, and we dealt with that. It came up before, and we dealt with it. So, again, I know Dan likes to have a nice political talking point and with the lies and all of this kind of stuff, but at some point you have to look at the accountability. The fact that Dan just said that with all these hundreds of millions of dollars in subsidies that I vetoed, that somehow that was going to raise rates, we did just the exact opposite. Solar energy, renewable energy, requires subsidies. And again, you can have that balance and you can make those investments, but you can't put over $1 billion. That's what those bills added up to, over $1 billion in subsidies. There's just a smarter way to do it than saying yes to everything.
Let's move on to the mental health crisis that we're still
Laura.
Seeing in our state. Yeah, 30 seconds, please, and then I really do want to move on.
That.
Thank you.
Look, these are the governor's own words. These aren't lies. The governor said the jury is out on climate change. He attacks the science just like Trump attacks the science. It's no surprise he calls himself a Trump guy through and through. We got to move forward on clean energy in the state of New Hampshire. The vetoes of clean energy, solar, distributed generation, energy efficiency have resulted in rates going up on everyday Granite Staters.
That's absolutely not true. Hundreds of
That's
millions
absolutely
of dollars.
True.
It's not like a couple bucks here, Dan. It's hundreds of millions.
And these are bipartisan pieces of legislation that were vetoed, that could have moved us forward.
I have a question for you, Senator Feltus. You keep saying that the governor said the jury is out on climate science. When were those statements made? Do you know?
A few years ago, but he said it.
That's convenient.
It is convenient. Well,
I mean, Dan,
what do you
can't just keep saying things and have nothing to back it up.
So
what
here's
do you mean
my question, Governor Sununu. Have your views evolved on climate change? Did you used to feel that the jury was still out and your views have changed?
I'm an environmental engineer. I worked as an environmental engineer for over 10 years. I went to MIT. My job was cleaning up hazardous waste, chlorinated solvents out of soil and groundwater, designing the exact systems that we're talking about. This is what I do. It's kind of at the core, and those experiences are what drive a lot of the decisions that we make today. But at the end of the day, if we say no to a couple bills because they cost hundreds of millions of dollars, I vetoed those bills. I'll veto them again because there's always a better way to do it by focusing the effort, not in these big companies, but focusing those solar panels on those that can afford it the least.
Okay, well, from one crisis to the next, from climate to mental health. And Senator Feltus, you get first crack at this, please.
Sure.
Let's talk specifically about what's available for children in mental health. And I know this is something that you've been looking at, Senator Feltus, because Senate Bill 14, signed last year, sent more money to improve health, mental health overall, but a lot was there for children's mental health care. But according to the Concord Monitor, just recently they did some great reporting. Very few steps outlined in this bill have taken place. You're on the Finance Committee and the Ways and Means Committee, Senator Feltus. So what have you been doing to keep track of this and push it forward? 60 seconds, please.
Sure. We've been writing letters to the administration to ask them to stand it up. We wrote letters to give a specific time frame. The end of June, I asked them to stand it up. We asked in
June
spring.
Of last year. Sorry
no,
for interrupting.
June of this year and in spring of this year. And we did lead the way. A statewide mobile crisis intervention and stabilization team for children at risk, whether child protection involved or not, keeping them out of the emergency room, giving them needed, timely, and necessary mental health treatment in their community. You know, if you break a leg or you have a heart attack, you get medical care right away. Mental health, not so much in New Hampshire right now under this administration. We have 27 kids that are waiting in emergency rooms, waiting for mental health treatment that could have been taken care of had the bill that I authored and worked on actually been implemented by Chris Sununu. He didn't implement it. He just went out to an RFP, request for proposal, last week. And there's no greater reflection of society than the way it treats its children, in the words of Nelson Mandela. I will stand up those services, those mental health services, look out for our children and our families every step of the way.
Well, and same question to you, Governor Sununu, on mental health and $20 million allocated to improve it last year. And yet we have a spike, as Senator Feltus said, in people waiting for psychiatric beds, many of them children. It's heartbreaking. Why are we still seeing this problem, Governor Sununu, given years of attention, money on this issue? One person said, we don't have a money issue. We have a timing issue. We need to move forward. What's the holdup?
So let's understand that just before the pandemic, the wait in emergency rooms was zero, absolute zero. Lori Chibinette and her experience and her team by making those investments, by doing the right thing. Now, the pandemic has created a whole variety of issues for folks, isolation issues for kids and adults. And so, yes, we saw the numbers spike up again, but you can't use the pandemic as the example. We've shown that we have the model to get that number to zero. We've made the investments in the DRF beds across the communities, the transitional housing, more than ever before. We inherited one of the worst mental health crises in 2017 than any administration in history. We've made progress and actually passed legislation on suicide prevention. We've passed legislation allowing teachers to get that training on mental health issues because they're such a big part of the solution. We're moving kids out of New Hampshire Hospital into Hampstead, where they actually have a more kid-friendly environment. We're expanding our beds at the Philbrook House. So I could go on all day. Dan talks about one contract that went out last week, but we've passed 25 contracts in the past 2 years to make all of these investments across the state, and we have a model that has shown to work. Pandemic's a little different, and again, we're not backing away from that challenge, but we know the model can work, and as we work through these issues, we know we can get back to zero, which, again, I'm the first governor to get that number to zero in ages. So we're very proud of what we've been able to do, but there's still so much more work and so many more folks that are counting us to get back to what we'd call normal in a normal system post-pandemic.
Well, and Josh Rogers, I'm going to throw it back to you. Thank you both.
Like it or not, in a presidential election year, the top of the ticket looms large, and looming particularly large is President Trump. And, Governor, this question is for you. As we've heard today, and as you well know at this point, Democrats very much want to make this race in large measure about a comment you made in May of 2019 about the challenge that former Massachusetts Governor Bill Weld was mounting in the Republican presidential primary against President Trump. "I'm a Trump guy through and through," you said. Do you still feel that way? And if not, why?
Well, look, you see all these ads, right? Every ad that Dan puts out is an attack ad. Dan wants to be governor, but he talks more about Donald Trump than he does about ideas for the state of New Hampshire. And this, I'm actually keeping score. You're up to 20. You've actually named him 20 times in one debate, Dan, over 25 last night. If you're running for governor, you got to come with solutions and real ideas. Look, I'm the head of the party, the Republican Party in New Hampshire. I support the ticket. I support the president. I'm going to vote for him. I don't think that's a shock to anybody, frankly. They've been trying to go down this path for 4 years now. I call the balls and strikes like I see them. When Donald Trump called us a drug-infested den, we stood up on it. When he wasn't clear about the racism and the statements made down in Charlottesville or even just a few weeks ago, we stood up and said unequivocally, you know, there's no place for that kind of gray area, if you will. When FEMA wasn't giving us the testing materials, we stood up and said they have to do a better job. So, look, I'm New Hampshire through and through. I'm a New Hampshire guy, and I'm always going to fight for what gives us that advantage. But I'm also going to work, whether it's Trump or Biden or Clinton or Obama. I don't care who's president. I'm going to work with whoever president to get the best results for our state.
I mean, you say as a Republican you'll support the ticket. There are other Republican governors, Charlie Baker, Phil Scott, Larry Hogan, have said they won't or haven't voted for President Trump. And, you know, it's true you've criticized the president and, you know, you said you tried to watch the presidential debate with your daughter and ended up turning it off in disgust. But yeah. Do you still think 4 more years of President Trump is the best option for the country right now?
So when we look at what's coming, election has to be about what we're going to do going forward, the challenges we're going to face going forward. When I look at those challenges, they're about jobs. They're about the economy. They're about supporting law enforcement and safety in our communities. These are the anxieties amongst many options for our kids, right? Dan Feltes, we got $46 million from the federal government to expand public charter schools. Dan Feltes led the charge, wouldn't even take the money. So, you know, it's about creating opportunity, and that's what 2021 is going to be about. And when we focus on New Hampshire, creating those opportunities, we're not going to say no. We're going to make sure the folks in the state get exactly what they're expecting, what they need, and what, again, they're feeling in their households, not just what the government says.
I'll give you 30 seconds here, Senator.
Sure. Are you better off after 4 years of Trump and Sununu? I don't think so. Working families and working people are taking it on the chin. And every step to move forward for working people, including paid family and medical leave insurance, including minimum wage for our frontline workers, has been vetoed. And not only did Chris Sununu veto minimum wage, he took a $31,000 pay raise for himself as governor while vetoing the minimum wage. He opposes the minimum wage just like Trump, calls himself a Trump guy through and through. Those aren't my words, Josh. Those are his words.
Okay.
Look,
the
governor cannot give himself a raise. This is one of the many most outrageous lies that Dan is always out there. The legislature decides the governor's salary. I've never asked for a raise. again, if previous governors, I think Hassan and Lynch, they were very independently wealthy. They did a great job, and they chose not to take their full salary. I think that's wonderful. I don't, but that's great. But I get the salary the legislature gives me. This idea that I somehow gave myself a raise is just outrageous. And again, I think it says more about Dan Feltes and his campaign than it does about ourselves.
No, because it says something about respect for frontline workers. I will reject the pay raise Chris Sununu gave himself. I will give it back unless and until we reinstate and raise the minimum wage in New Hampshire.
You're head of the legislature, and you don't even know that the legislature dictates the pay for the governor?
To decide whether or not to take it. That's the true fact.
All right, I think we've exhausted this one. But let me
should work for free?
Let me get back to you, Senator.
You're working for $143,000 a year right now.
Not interrupt that. Would be great.
So, Senator, when the Keene Sentinel endorsed Governor Sununu last week, and the paper hasn't endorsed a Republican for governor in 30 years, their editorial said you could make a fine governor, but it also noted that given repeated prompts to discuss his vision for the state, he, meaning you, chose to highlight instead that Sununu is a, quote, Trump guy through and through. Does that criticism and their choice, based on your conduct in the edit board, make you think that maybe you've underestimated voters' capacity to assess the governor on his own record?
No. And you know what? We have plans for the future. We have a healthcare plan to reduce costs and increase access. Under Chris Sununu, the uninsured rate gone up triple the uninsured under Chris Sununu. Highest health care costs in the nation under Chris Sununu, even prior to the pandemic. We put forward a comprehensive health care plan to move forward, including on behavioral health. We put forward a comprehensive housing plan to move forward, building on the bipartisan initiatives. So we have a vision to lift up working people and working families. We haven't heard any plans from Chris Sununu. None about why he is running for a rare third term as governor. So look, this is about lifting up the struggles of working people and working families, those left out and left behind. The economy is not working for everyone. And to say it is, which Chris Sununu has said recently, is just not true. And you know it. So we need to turn the page on the Trump Sununu agenda and look out for working people and working families once and for all.
Let's be clear. Dan Feltes says he's out fighting for working families, but he passed two income taxes that I had to veto.
That is absolutely not true.
Dan Feltes says he's going to create jobs, but when I asked him to not put in the 13% business taxes, they said no. And we had to manage through that. And luckily, with my administration, we didn't get the business tax increase. Dan Feltes says he wants to create opportunities for kids and rejected $46 million from the federal government to open up opportunity and expansion of public charter schools. You're all talk, Dan. At the end of the day, you have to bring results. And look at the results in our state. Lowest COVID numbers, one of the strongest economies, opportunity at an individual level, 85% of our schools open, no outbreaks in schools. These are the results that people expect when they have anxieties in a pandemic. And this is the leadership and management experience we're going to need in 2021 to bring our economy back and keep our community safe.
All right, Laura's going to have anxieties about the clock if we don't move on.
I'm willing to give you another 30 seconds, okay. Josh, if you would, with Senator Feltes, do have to move on. Thank you.
I'd veto an income tax. I've been very clear about that.
You wrote the income tax
twice.
No,
that's not true. That's not true. We're talking about paid family and medical leave insurance, which Chris Sununu opposes. And what does
that
mean?
My three bills that were paid
Governor,
family leave, you said
Governor,
no to
three,
all of them.
Give him his time, please.
Three
Thank you.
Bipartisan bills. People who need the help. Diane, story of Diane, who is a breast cancer, battling breast cancer, didn't have access to paid family medical leave insurance. Her daughter had to make a GoFundMe page. People in COVID not having access to paid medical leave. And this is what it's all about, making sure we take care of our families. And it's paid for just like Social Security. And it's pretty simple. And I don't hear the governor calling Social Security income tax. The fact of the matter is I've been standing up for working
Thank
people
you.
And working
Thank
families
you,
my
Feltes.
Entire life.
No, this
and
is
it's a
key
flat
issue.
Out
Thank
lie
you,
that this is an income tax.
Look, Dan's
30
words
seconds,
in that bill,
governor
payments
Sununu.
Shall equal 0.5% per wages per employee per week. Those are his words in both bills. Everybody pays, no matter how much you make. Low-income families, everybody pays. So that's an income tax. Payments, that's a tax. Shall equal wages? That's your income. You can use whatever linguistic gymnastics, but you put forth two income tax bills. And when given my plan, which was an option on paid family leave because I support it, you chose the one with the income tax. You showed your priorities right there in that moment. We could have had paid family leave today because
you
knew.
That is absolutely
because you knew I'd vote
true.
For the bill that
okay,
I put forward.
And Senator
but
Feltes,
when you put forth the income tax,
seconds,
you made
and then
let
your
me, let me
done.
Just make
very
it clear. Very clear.
Very clear.
Very clear.
30 seconds, Senator Feltes.
Chris Sununu had no
done.
Plan. No plan.
Three bills?
It was
a
status. Hold on a second.
Three bills.
Come on, Governor. Status quo with tax breaks for big corporations. Not one person supported his bill. It was not a bill. It was just an effort so he could say in this election that he supports it. He's running for a third term, said he'd support it each of the first two terms, did not get it done. These were bipartisan bills for paid family and medical leave insurance. Democrats and Republicans on the bill. It's not a Democrat problem or a Republican problem. The failure to move forward on paid family leave is a Chris Sununu problem.
I'll never support an income tax, ever. I promise that to the state of New Hampshire.
Neither will I.
Last question for both of you gentlemen, and 15 seconds, please. Who in the opposite party, a living person, so you can't say Abraham Lincoln or FDR, who in the opposite party do you respect the most? And Senator Feltus, to you first, 15 seconds, please.
Well, I would think that the a living person, okay, I'm going to go with probably former state senator Nancy Stiles. I worked with her on a whole host of issues. She's terrific to work with. We broke down barriers to insurance coverage for people who needed it. Just a wonderful person.
Okay. Governor Sununu, a Democratic living politician who you respect the most.
You know, I got to tell you, I love Bobby Steven. Remember old former Senator Bobby Steven in Manchester? He worked really closely with my dad back in the day, bipartisan, got stuff done. I mean, just a great Manchester guy. I'm trying to think of someone local. Yeah. I still talk to him a lot. I still kind of go to him for advice from time to time.
I wasn't expecting Bobby Steven or Nancy Stiles, so there's some surprise in this debate.
two great individuals. Great individuals. Yeah.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. It's 2 weeks before the election today, so my best wishes that you both stay in good health on the campaign trail moving forward. And that concludes our debate with the candidates for New Hampshire governor. I really want to thank them. Governor Chris Sununu. Thank you, Governor Sununu, for being here. Appreciate it. And Democratic nominee and Senator Dan Feltus. Senator Feltus, nice to see you. Thank you for being here as well. Really appreciate it. Also, my colleague Josh Rogers, our partners at New Hampshire PBS, and the many, many NHPR staff members who worked on this event, including Ellen Grimm, RJ Perkins, Dan Colgan, Dan Barrick, and Michael Brindley. I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange on New Hampshire Public Radio.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. If you missed part of today's program, listen to The Exchange anytime at nhpr.org or subscribe to our podcast. Search Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or Stitcher for NHPR Exchange.